There was an interview a few years ago. They interviewed one of these I don't know what they call them exactly in Eretz Yisrael, but like one of these SEAL teams that go into like terrorists' houses. Do they have a name? Duvdevan? Duvdevan. Okay, cherries. So they introduced, it doesn't go, Navy SEALs, it's like, sounds like. So they interviewed a cherries guy, and this cherry guy, they asked him like, okay, what was the plan? How did it work? And he gave them the plan exactly how, you know, they went into this terrorist house, they got there, they grabbed him, and actually what they did is a very cool thing. They grabbed him, and then when they finished interrogating him, they put him into the middle of the city square, mid-broad daylight, they dropped him off, and they gave him a big hug as they left, and they kissed him, and they said, have a good day, and they got in the car and drove off. And he was like, you're hugging me? Why are you hugging me? Everyone's going to kill me now. They were not planning on, that was their plan, like, he should die now for other people. We're not going to kill him, other people will kill him. But they interviewed him about his whole plan, and they asked him, this cherry, they asked him if he had any backup plan. Because, like, what happens if this plan wouldn't have worked? So he said, yeah, don't worry. We had eight backup plans. Eight. Eight backup plans. And he, like, went through in the interview, like, if this would have went wrong, we were planning to do that. And if this would have went wrong, we were planning to do this. They had eight different plans how to get this guy. Okay? And they weren't even trying to kill the guy. They were just trying to get information from him, and they were putting him right back in there. So I think that if the commander, whoever this cherry was, didn't have a backup plan, he had only one plan, let's say. This is the plan. We're going with this plan, and this is the plan that's going to work. I would call him a murderer. Because who goes into enemy territory with only one plan? There's a saying, no plan survives. No plan survives contact with the enemy. There's no such thing. A plan doesn't survive when you go with contact with them. No such thing. When it comes to our ruchnius, a lot of times we have only one plan or no plan at all. We just like, we have one way of doing things. We do it the way our Tati did it, the way our Zaidi did it, the way our Elder Zaidi did it. This is what we do. It's like there's like this mentality, like, we will not change the way it is. We will stick to this plan and this plan only. No matter if this plan is dead. It has nothing, there's no more horse to beat. It's done. But we're going to stick to the plan. I literally, every day by Shemoneh Esrei, I get up there. I'm about to start Sur Yisrael. I say, okay, today, Kavana. I tell myself, today it's going to happen. I'm going to have Kavana. Baruch Ato Hashem Alekenu. What else is there on my mind right now? Okay, right, Shir. Okay, what's going to be with Shir? Okay, so I'm going to say that. And I turn around, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to murder Geshem already. Okay, Kavana. I tell myself again, let's do Kavana. And I'm like, Mashav Aruch, I'm murder Geshem. I wake up, I'm up to the same bracha. And I'm like, the same bracha? No, the same talamata. Okay, the same talamata, the bracha. Great, I got it. Okay, good. Okay, and I try. Okay, we'll go. And this is my plan. I have like this plan. Every day I tell myself this plan. We are going to do Kavana. And I think it's time that I woke up that this plan is done. I need a backup plan. Because the plan A ain't working. We need a plan B. Okay? What plan B has to be, fine, we can think about it. But I have to realize myself that I need a plan B. Plan A is dead in the water. It's over. But we don't just do this by davening. We do this with so many ruchniistic things. When it comes to ruchniist, this is like our go-to. Comes to learning, I can't translate. I literally hear this every day. Rebbe, you know I can't translate. Oh, that's an excuse. That became the excuse. I can't translate. Or I can't read. I'm good. I'm going to come upstairs after 120, and I'm going to turn to Hashem and be like, oh, you wanted me to learn? Can't read. Sorry. And Hashem's going to give you a check. It's like, check. He learned. He did what he could do. His shtadlus. This is like a great word. I did his shtadlus. I tried. It's like this freebie we throw around. His shtadlus is like one of those things. We throw around his shtadlus. Right? You ever met a businessman? Right? and he says, listen, I'm a big businessman. How much money do you make here? I don't, I lose, but I do my ishtadlis. I tried one thing, but I don't really understand the stock market, but I tried, and that's it, I'm a businessman. There's no such businessman, it doesn't exist. But in Torah, we're comfortable with that. We are comfortable with this saying. Ishtadlis, I tried, but I can't translate. That plan hasn't been working. Okay, if that plan didn't work, isn't it time to start a new plan? So great, people have the amount of excuses that we made for ourselves, that the Torah has created for us, is humongous. Recently, a guy told me a new one, and I don't mean to call him out on it. I'm just utilizing that opportunity of an excuse. He can't come to Minyan because he has trauma. He has trauma. What's his trauma? His parents forced him to go to Minyan. Or it was his Rebbe, I don't even remember. It was his parents, or maybe it was both. Everyone forced him to go to Minyan. It's great. That's great. I give it to the guy, really. It's a great excuse. It's great. But Lamaisa, what are you going to do to get past this? Are you sticking to this? This is going to be your go-to answer till you're 80? And you're going to have to make a bris for your son one day? And or a kiddush for your daughter, and you're gonna be like, so where should we make it? And your wife's gonna be like, you should make it in shul. And you're like, shul? Oh, which shul should I make it in? The one you daven at? Oh, I don't daven in any shul. So like, so where are you gonna make the kiddush? Okay, we'll rent the hall. Like that's gonna be your plan of action? Is that the plan? Because if that's your plan, great, then it could work. But most people need to have some sort of a connection to a shul. Okay, so if you don't plan on dying with Minyan because of trauma, and that's your excuse today, okay, when are we going to get past this? When are you going to decide, okay, I got to take my own life in my own hands? By the way, my mother used to force me to take showers when I was little. And I also have trauma about that. So if anyone has a problem with the way I smell, okay, take it up with my mother. Because she forced me to take those showers. And shampoo, that was the worst. It made your eyes tear. You know the trauma I'm dealing with that? That's insane. Trauma. It's like an excuse. And it works. It works. It's like, you got it. You got a golden ticket. I don't think anyone has to be like brilliant, the brilliant strategist to figure out how to like get past the plan A, to figure out plan B. I think... I'll read you first Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, I think he says it clear, but he says over here, in Perek Beis, in Midas HaZehirus, he says that this is Be'emes, the trick that the Yetzer Hara uses. What does he do? Lehachbid avoidosoi bismidus alibus b'nei adam. He makes us work and work the whole day. Ad shelo yishar lehem revach leizboinin ulestakil be'ezeh derech emolchim. Till we don't even know which way we're going. Are we going front? Are we going back? He makes us so crazy with everything that we don't even know which way we're going. We don't know. We don't know. Are we going up the ladder or are we going down the ladder? A guy can literally be diving with Minyan because of incentives and he'll tell me, Rebbe, it's the Rashiva's fault. He'll blame it on the Rashiva. Like the Rashiva can like tell a guy, like give a guy a punishment. And the guy's like, now because of the punishment, I had to do this and this. It's like the Rashiva's fault. Like, this is how we go with the Yetzer Hara. See, it's Hara's fault. No, this is what the Yetzer Hara does. This is what he does. This is his plan. His plan is he will make you crazy. He will make you so crazy with everything. No matter what you want. Okay? He'll make Rabbi Streicher crazy with Corona. And he'll make another guy crazy with season 4. But he doesn't. He knows how to handle everybody. He got everyone. He has everyone down pat. And he makes you crazy till you can't think. And why? Zokta Mesilas Yesharim, ki yedeahu, the Yetzer Hara knows. Vada, I'm skipping a little bit. Vadai shemiyad hoyimaschinum ninochim imaseim. If we would think for even 5 minutes, we would right away return from all the things we did bad. We would return right away. We would figure it out. If we would stop and think, give ourselves a few minutes to think about it, we would become good people. We would become better people. Okay, we would figure out how to fix the davening and the learning. Chinuch. I had a neighbor in my building, not where I live now, my old building. Hopefully nobody knows where I live in the old building. Anyways, his neighbor, you would hear the screaming, not at his wife, Baruch Hashem, but at his kids, through the door, through the walls. We had thin walls, but Lamaisa, there was a lot of screaming going on. Every night it was the same thing. Get into bed. I don't want to be in bed. And then we get louder and louder. Like, as the time go on, we get louder and louder. I think I lived in that apartment for 13 years. I think his kid was like 7 when I moved in. The kid was 20 when we moved out. And they were still fighting when he was like 19. But it just got like, it started at 8:30 and like it ended at 1 o'clock. You know, as the time went on. Like, I was listening to the time. And it just got louder and louder. The volume was just going up. Get into bed! Get into bed. Get into bed! No, I'm not getting into bed. Yeah, it was like, literally, this was the fight every night. I once went to the guy. And I was like, listen, you could scream at your kid. I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. That's the mahalach. That's the mahalach. But like, is it working? Is it happening? Like, so what? What are we doing? Every day? Every night we're going to do it again? It's every night. Even Friday night, I think. But it was every night. And I was like, this is chinuch? If it is, let me know. He was a great guy and everything else. You should know, he's a great person and everything else. This was like his, I guess, his weak spot. So he told me, this is his words to me. He said, I have to teach my son how to listen to me. Again, I was like, you have to teach your son. And I was like, I wanted to repeat it to the guy. Just so he could like listen to it a little bit on a tape recorder. He has to teach his son how to listen to him. So this is the way. Who's stronger? Let's have an arm wrestle. Let's see who's stronger. You're teaching him how to listen to you by what? By screaming louder than him? And then what? So you're the boss over him. So now you taught him? I think the guy today is probably like 25. He still didn't learn that you have to listen to your tati. He did not learn. This is definitely not the way to learn. Maybe his mashgiach gave a shmooze in yeshiva and he learned how to listen to his tati. But this way didn't work. But this is what we do. There was this guy. He wanted to go to like Alaska. I think he wanted. He was in New York. He was standing, I think, in the Times Square, and he said he's going to Alaska. So he took out his compass, and he looked where Alaska was on his map, and he starts walking. That's what happened, literally. He's walking to Alaska, and he's like, "No, try again." You know those GPS things when you miss the exit. You know today's GPS. You miss the exit, and the GPS is like, "Turn around." You're like, yeah, I'm in the middle of the BQE. Sure, where do you want me to turn around exactly, buddy? You know, there's no shoulder. Turn around. And you're like, okay, figure out the next exit, what I do. Nope, turn around. And you have like this lady voice telling you, turn around, sir. And you're like, what turn around? Buddy, get over here and look around. There's no turning around, okay? And it's turn around. And then by the time you've like two exits later, it's like, oh, we figured out a new way to go. Like, buddy, figure it out as fast. I pass the exit, move on. No turning around. Where does it go? What time is it? Okay, I'm almost finished. I think that there are ways. Again, these are maybe just ideas. For me, they've a little bit worked. Maybe to have a plan, other plans, other ways of doing things. In Gemara, there's a lot of different ways of doing it. Everyone should ask their Rebbe for different ways. If you can't read, okay, there's definitely something there that you can't read. Okay, doesn't mean you have a problem. Okay, problem is the wrong word. Okay, just like they don't say in Waterbury, they don't say potential. Don't say problem. You don't have a problem. You don't have an issue. Okay, you have a challenge, and you have to overcome this challenge. You can't read. We have to figure out a way to work. Okay, go to your Rebbe, ask him. Okay, Rebbe, I've been trying for 18 years this way, okay? And it's just not going anywhere. I can't read Gemara. How could I figure out how to learn how to read Gemara? What's the mahalach? And maybe if that Rebbe doesn't have a mahalach, try a different way. This is your opportunity right here. For the next 2 years, 1 year, 3 years, whatever it is you're planning on staying here, when else are you going to do it? When you're learning Daf Yomi? Not that the Rishiva wants you to learn Daf Yomi, but when you're learning Daf Yomi in 5 years from now, that's when you're going to learn how to read. This is the opportunity. If you're not going to take the opportunity today, so when do you plan on doing it? Translation, you can't translate. Okay, so let's figure out how to get the way to translate. kamas, all these things, there's ideas out there how to help a person. Help yourself. Help yourself. I think the Help Yourself book selection in the world is like the top trending type of books in the world. Help, how to help yourself. Help self books. Self-help books. Self-help books. Let's make a self-help book. Let's figure it out. In davening. Everyone thinks like, I used to think always, like if I say the word slowly, so then I'll have a lot of kavana. Say the word slowly. Then, but the problem is between word A and word B, I was also going slowly to other places, not just in davening. Maybe the Eitzah is to daven quick. I don't know. Maybe that is Eitzah. There are definitely Gedolim who used to do that. I think Stalin the Rebbe davened super quick Shemoneh Esrei. I'm not telling anyone to take on that Mahalach, but if that Mahalach does work for you to have more Kavana, then go for it. Right? Stalin the Rebbe is being truthful to himself. He knows that Mahalach works for him. Okay? If that Mahalach works for you, so go for that Mahalach. What's the kasha not to go for that Mahalach? Learn about davening. Also, I love the new fad. There's a new fad. I don't see anyone maybe here has it, but there's like this travel size sitter. You dive with a travel size sitter. It's like when you pull that out of your tefillin bag, it's like means I'm about to travel a lot. I'm gonna do the traveling. I'm traveling from Florida. I need travel size. I never saw anyone have a travel size toilet. You know, a travel size. Like what's with the travel size? Get yourself a nice big sitter. Dive in like a mensch. You're about to talk in front of God. Sit down and park yourself over here. Where are you traveling to? Where are you going exactly? Okay, there's no traveling now. You know, I saw these shirts. They were on sale. I think they were like $9.99 shirts, and I was about to buy like a lot of the shirts. For me, it's expensive shirts. A lot of material. It cost a lot of money. I was about to buy these shirts, and then I see they're travel shirts. So I asked somebody, what does it mean a travel shirt? Like, what's it? So he told me, no, they make it differently, that you don't have to iron it, and it's very, like, junky type of shirts. It's made for people, businessmen. When they're traveling, some of them, like, throw in a shirt, and then when they finish traveling, they throw it out. That's what the guy told me. Anyone here wears a travel shirt? No one wears a travel shirt. So maybe we should talk. Like, we don't wear travel things. We're not traveling anywhere. We're davening. So let's daven like a mensch. I once learned by Reb Nissen Kaplan. Reb Nissen Kaplan, he right before Ben Ezmanim, he gave a shmooze, and he said his shmooze was in Israeli English, but it was a good shmooze. He had a good yisoid, and he said he wants everyone to make a plan for themselves for Ben Ezmanim. Make a plan for yourself for Ben Ezmanim, and your plan should be who your chavrusa is going to be, where you're going to learn. When are you going to learn? What you're going to learn? Four things. And then he said, and then make a backup plan. If your chavrusa doesn't show, what are you going to do? If you can't learn at that location, what are you going to do? If you can't learn at that time, what are you going to do? And if you can't learn at that limud, what are you going to do? Because it will fail the first plan at some point during Bein Hazmanim. So make a plan. Okay? You all flew to Eretz Yisrael. You all made plans to fly to Eretz Yisrael. You bought clothing. You got insurance. You did all the paperwork you needed to do. How many people learned Masechtas Baba Metzia Mishnayos? Ben Ezmanim. Why was there no plan? Everyone knew they were learning Baba Metzia this year. There was no plan for the learning. The learning was non-planned. That's what the Masechtas Sharm is saying over here. That we don't. He doesn't give us a second. The Yitzhar doesn't give us a second to think. He say, take care of everything. Whatever you need to take care of it. As long as you're not going to think about Hashem. You're not going to think about Hashem? Great. I have you exactly where I want you. So going tonight, a guy wants a plan. Right? Guys have been trying to go to sleep on time for years. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I don't know what happened, but bedtime does not work. For years it hasn't been working. And they still have the same plan. The plan is still the same. Tonight is the night. You're going to see, Rebbe, I'm closing the lights tonight at 12 o'clock. Tonight's the night. Then what happens? Yeah, well, Rebbe, you don't realize. This guy was going to the spa tonight, and I wanted to go along with him. So tomorrow night, right? Or no, Rebbe, there was a macha. There's a million excuses, trust me. I know all of them. I was there. I did the machal, and I did the spa, and I did all of them already. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. My father has this saying, whenever a guy comes to the Shabbos, then he like says like something that he did, my father's like, yeah, I think I left my umbrella there 20 years ago. You know, like, been there, done that, my friend. Don't you don't have to tell me your stories. So, what's the plan? We're going to do bedtime tonight. Great. Everyone's going to do bedtime. Maybe we should start Kriya Shema Lamita. It's a good idea. Maybe it's a new plan. We say Hamapil. Maybe at 10:15 we should have the Rosh Hashanah clap over here. Hamapil Barabim. Okay? And everyone should say Hamapil at 10:15 tonight. And that's it. We're done. Right? It's a good plan. At least it's a new plan. It's something a little new to what we've been doing for the past 16 years that it hasn't been working. So let's try something new. Let everyone figure it out. If it's Kriya Shema Lamita, so do Kriya Shema Lamita. You want to wake up on time. So there's a feature on your phones, okay? Even under your phones, it's called an alarm clock. New feature, my friends. They just putting it on tonight at 10:15. It's going to get on. It's going to update your phones. New feature, alarm clock, okay? They used to have it in the old phones. The iOS had issues with it. They got it through the filter. It works, okay? Alarm clock. A new idea? Okay, that you tried that idea already. Great. They make this thing in their cell. I don't know if they have it in America. They make this thing. It's like called Tornado, I think. It literally makes your bed feel like a tornado. Okay? No one sleeps through this. You attach it to your pillow, and your pillow like... it literally flies all over the place. Okay? It's another plan. A guy wants to have a good first Seder. So what does he do? Right after Shacharis, or mid right after Shacharis, whatever... Everyone has their own interpretation of right after Shacharis means. I know that, but right after Shacharis, he's going to take a quick nap. Take a quick nap. Why in the world does a guy need a nap then? Oh, he didn't sleep well last night. So it's like, this is the plan. It's every day the same plan. Right after Shacharis, we take a nap. It like built into the plan that doesn't work. But this is the plan. We take a nap. And then we wake up, and it's 11 o'clock. Oh man, the plan didn't work. Of course the plan didn't work. Of course the plan didn't work. It didn't work yesterday, it didn't work 2 days ago. Why would it work today? So what do we say? What do we say, everybody say? We gotta start a new plan. We have to make a new plan for what we're doing. I'm gonna end over this vart that in Mitzrayim. The Medrash says, I think Rashi brings it down, that no slave ever escaped from Mitzrayim. No slave. Zero. Zero slaves ever escaped from Mitzrayim. But the Yidden, we all left. Millions of us walked out of there. The word Mitzrayim comes from Meitzar, from a box. Okay? How did the Mitzrayim get this fact down so good that no slave ever escaped? No one ever escaped. They had guards everywhere. How did they make sure that no slave ever escaped? When you make somebody believe that who he is a slave, he doesn't even think about running away. When you make a person, and it works, in America it's still working for certain types of people, okay? They still believe they're slaves. They cannot get past that fact. They can't get past it. And that's what the Mitzrayim did. The Mitzrayim did that. The Mitzrayim made them believe they deserve to be slaves. All the slaves, that's what they made them believe. They gave them as a privilege. You are a slave. Look how high you've come. You're up to this caste of slavery. They never even thought of escaping. Even the Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim, what did they say? Zocharnu es hadoga. We remember the fish. Oh, they were salmon. We remember the fish. Can you imagine what a good job the Mitzrayim did on the Yidden? They pulled them over so well. The Yidden had no reason really to run away. And it says Moshe Rabbeinu tried to talk to them, and he couldn't even talk to them. They were so busy working, he couldn't even get with them. Mikoytza ruach mevoyda kosh. He couldn't even talk to them. The Mitzrayim had this down to a science. How to get no slave will ever escape. And they brainwashed people so well that people believed it was better to be back in Mitzrayim than to be a free person in the Midbar because of the fish and watermelon. That's what they liked, the fish and the watermelon. This is what we liked. How come we're here, free people, and we don't got the fish. It sounds insane to me. But that's what Mitzrayim did. And this is what the Yetzer Hara is doing with each and every one of us. He's making us slaves to ourselves. We fell into the trap, and this is who I am. Pick up your hands. This is who I am. And I'll end up with one story. I think I said this story on Purim by the Shevet Brachos, but I'll say it anyway, so it's a shmata story. It's good to end up with a good laugh. I was once working in a Pesach hotel as Mashkiach, and that's not the funny part. Anyways, so the cook cooked soup. He cooked two big pots of soup, and he started, you know, he ladles out for people from the soup, and then when it gets towards the bottom, you know, you have all those pieces from the chicken, so he stopped ladling out from that soup, and he went to the next soup, and he ladled out from that soup. Anyways, when he finished ladling the soup, there was like this much soup in one pot, and like this much soup in the other pot. So he tells the non-Jew over there, he says, combine them. And this non-Jew picks up the pot that's three quarters full and pours it into the, like, mom is straining, and pours it into the other pot. And I turn to the guy, I'm like, buddy, it would have been easier to pick up the one that has this much soup and pour it into here than this one into there. So he tells me, no, this one had much more empty space. And guaranteed, if I went back to that Pesach hotel now, that non-Jew is still doing that. And we're laughing at ourselves. Thank you very much for listening.